Thank you for tuning in to Don't Keep It to Yourself. I am your host, Sharice Shockley. The purpose of this podcast is to provide a safe place for an open dialogue that will enable my conversation partners to be seen and heard.
So let me ask you this before we get started.
Yes.
Do I have to call you Pastor Cobbins or can I call you Eric? Like, where are we at?
Hey, my mama named me Eric. So you can call me Eric. I don't get hung up on that. You call me Eric. You call me Pastor E. You call me Dude. What's, you know, never mind. No, I ain't gonna say that. But yeah.
I know what you was about to say.
My brother.
Yes.
Brother. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay.
So, but yeah. No, E, you call me E. It's fine. It's all good. We already got that out of the way that I'm a pastor. Since you said that, can I share something with you?
Yeah.
That's sort of funny since I never tell people that I'm a pastor. Like when I'm out and I mean, listen. It's funny. I had this conversation just the other day at the gym. And I'll be in conversation, you know, at times. And the reason why I rarely tell, now I eventually tell them, but I don't go around saying, you know, if they ask me my name, oh, I'm Pastor Eric Cobbins. I don't do that. And the reason why I don't do that, because I want people to be themselves. Because typically when you tell them, hey, you're a pastor, they start acting different. I want people to just, hey, just be yourself. And what typically happens, this is what typically happens. We get into a conversation and the preacher in me won't preach, but I'll say something that's like really encouraging, inspiring. And so their next question is, man, they'll say, man, that was great what you just said. So what do you do? This is my first answer all the time. I said, I work for a not-for-profit organization. And they say, oh, okay, that's great. And we'll get to talking some more. And I might kick something else, you know, out, you know, that's sort of like grabs their attention. It was like, okay, wait a minute. Let me ask you. What? Because that was pretty profound what you just said. What do you do for the not-for-profit organization? I say, we help people, you know, we help people to, you know, we buy food, clothes at times, you know, help them with different things. You know, that's what we do. We help people. And we'll talk. They'll go, wait a minute. They'll stop me again and say, are you a pastor? And yeah, you got me. Yeah, I am. But I go through all of that, you know, and typically, you know, they'll be people, especially like at the gym, they'll have about 4 or 5 encounters with me or 10 encounters with me before they find out that I am a pastor, because they always tell me, hey, man, there's something about you. It's just your glow, your energy, and blah, blah. It's just something about you that's different, man. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is, yada, 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 you know. And so eventually they figured out, but I never go around saying that I'm a pastor. As a matter of fact, you know, I have a brother that works in the car business. And he always wants to introduce me because he's so proud of me. He always wants to introduce me to everybody. And so I have to keep reminding him. I say, hey, man, just tell him I'm your little brother, Eric. Okay, why did, man, he always got to, you know, hey, he's a pastor. He pastors a wonderful church in Lenexa, yada, yada, yada. And it's not that I'm trying to hide my identity, but it's so that people can relax and be who they are. And then I'm who I am. And actually, you know what? I draw people better that way than if I were to tell them that I'm a pastor. Now, this is all the Bible you're going to get, because, like I said, I'm on sabbatical. So this is all you. I ain't come to preach. I didn't get on here and preach or nothing tonight. And so this, the Bible says for us to let our light shine. Right.
Right.
It says, let your light so shine that men might see your good works, that they might see them. Right.
Right.
It says so that God can get the glory. God will get the glory. Now, watch this. Now, we've been on here. You've been sitting where you are. I've been sitting where I am. If you look up, what is that? What's shining?
The light.
It's the light. And you see it shining. You know it's shining, right? But during none of this time that we've been having this video chat, did the light say, hey, I'm a light. Hey, y'all, look, I'm a light. It didn't do that.
No.
it just shined. And so that's all I try to do, man. I just try to shine, you know, just shine by my, and let people see. You feel me?
Yes, I feel you. So this is where I am.
Okay.
So.
And I'm sorry if I got you off. I'm sorry if I got you off path.
No, this is what this is about. Remember, you're my conversation partner this week. So wherever the conversation goes, I'm going to follow.
Okay.
So this year, okay, so I do a lot of stuff in the diabetes community.
Right.
And I'm used to being, I like being behind the scenes. I like to be the director. When the spotlight is on me, I hate it because it's not about me.
Right.
So then this year I was like, you know what? I'm going to let my light shine. So it's so crazy when you were saying that, I wanted to interrupt you so bad and say, oh my gosh, this is like, so this is a part of me letting this podcast.
Yeah.
Is a part of me letting my light shine.
Let it shine. And let it shine. And, you know, you can, it seems like you're more effective and you reach more people by just doing that, by just letting your light shine, as opposed, you know how some preachers are the type of preachers, you know, like if I'm having a conversation or if they're having a conversation with somebody and, you know, this person may not be a believer or religious or anything like that. And they might drop an F-bomb in conversation or an S-bomb, you know, and then, oh my God, now my brother, you need to be careful and you need to repent for that, you know, because what you just said, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? People tend to be more conscious of what they say when they're around me just because they don't hear me say it. They don't hear me talking like that. And after a while, they get a little uncomfortable. They be like, okay, wait a minute. We've been in this conversation for 20 minutes. And I've just been letting him rip. And he has not said one cuss word. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't condemn them. It's not my job. It's not my job to condemn them. It's the Spirit's job to convict them. And that's what typically happens. They get convicted. They feel bad. They're like, and I'll be like, hey, now that you know I'm a pastor, hey, I still don't want you to just be who you are. Now, if the Spirit convicts you to whereas you can't say those things around me, hey, that's between you, that's between y'all. You know what I'm saying? But see, I done my part. I did my part without even saying anything. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
And you know what? And a lot of times, you know, people, because of that, then they want to hang around me because they don't feel. They don't feel condemned. They don't feel condemned. They just feel convicted, and they're convicted not by me, but by the Holy Spirit.
Preach.
You feel what I'm saying? And that way, you know, I can continue to let my light shine on. And then watch this. Not only can I affect them, but I can infect them. I can infect them with the love of God that I have and with what I exude, so much so that they want it.
That makes sense. You're not pressure selling them.
You know why? I hate that. You know, I'm glad you said it. That's a great way to look at it. For us, Reese, that is, I mean, you're not pressure selling them. That's great because when I go on, speaking of carbon, don't try to pressure me into buying anything. I will get up and leave. As a matter of fact, have you ever been to the in the finance department after you done picked your car out and everything? Now you go in the finance. Now watch this. I tell them beforehand. I tell the salesperson when it's not my brother. Well, my brother already knows. He already gives them the spiel. And I haven't had to do this because he's sold me my cars for the last umpteen years. But I always tell a salesperson that don't know me, hey, you let that person in finance know that if they try to sell me anything, I will get up and leave. I'm telling you, this is the only thing that I want. Just give me gap insurance and maybe prepaid oil changes or whatnot. Other than that, if you utter one word of trying to sell me the deal is off, I'm leaving. And I had to, unfortunately, I had to prove that. For real. And it's because I don't like to be pressured into buying anything. And that's a good point, because preachers, we're selling Jesus.
Right.
And a lot of times, watch this, a lot of times we don't package him up well. And that's what's a turnoff with a lot of people, because we package him in a way we don't represent him well. That's what I mean. We don't represent him well. We bring Jesus, you know, I saw on Bill Cosby on Cosby Show this morning. I'm sorry. And Vanessa, she brought her little boyfriend home. I don't know if you remember this episode. And he was a maintenance man at the college and whatnot. And he, you know, he's older than she was, you know, and he had been a couple other relationships. But, you know, he was doing well for himself. Anyway, Bill Cosby, Dr. Huxtable told them a story at the end of the deal, you know, as to why they feel the way that they feel about how she went about getting engaged with him and telling them last. Anyway, long story short, and this has to do with what I'm saying about how preachers represent or package Jesus. He asked him, he said, what's your favorite thing to eat? What's your favorite thing? He was like, oh, steak. He's like, steak? That's great. Yeah. He said, what would you like on the side? He said, oh, some crispy potatoes, whatnot. He said, okay, steak and potatoes. He said, I want you to picture this. He said, we're at this nice restaurant. Oh, it's beautiful. And they made you that big juicy steak or porterhouse. And it's all juicy and looking good. And they put those nice potatoes on there. He said, but they take the trash lid off of the garbage pan and they put your steak and your potatoes, something that you love, something that's so beautiful, and they put it on there and they come and they serve it to you. And he said, you probably wouldn't eat it, even though you love those steak and potatoes. And the reason why you were rejected, not because of what it is. And a lot of times people don't reject Jesus because of who he is. They reject him because of how he's represented. You know what I'm saying?
So you actually just hit on something.
We ain't even supposed to be talking Jesus stuff.
I know, but this is something that I want to ask you, because when we think about the world today and we think about, you know, the Christians that feel like it's their place to tell people what they can and cannot do. And I was raised that it's not my job to judge. You love them as they are. No matter, like, that's their thing. Your thing is just to love people and respect them, treat them with kindness, or as my mom would say, kill them with kindness if they don't like you.
That's biblical. The Bible says in Jeremiah, it says, with love and kindness have I drawn them. Talking about those that are apart from Christ. He said, he says, with love and kindness, that's how we should draw people, with love and kindness. And of course, we should not judge them, but the word does give us guidelines as to how we should live.
Right.
But we don't judge. The word judges you. The word. And where does the word come from? The word comes from God. And so he's the ultimate judge, but I'm just here to show you, help you, you know, point you in the right path, not to condemn you, because watch this, because all of us at some point in our life, we need a grace. All of us. I don't care the best of the preachers or whatnot. At one time you were apart from Christ, even if it was just from you coming out of the womb. We all were born in sin, the Bible says. We're born in it. Now, we don't have to continue in it and live it. We don't have to. Now, we're going to make mistakes, but we don't have to willfully, you know what I'm saying? But I do my best to share God's word in love and in kindness. You know, it's funny, and I hope I'm not getting too far off track.
No, because we'll loop back to the other good stuff.
Okay. I'm going to share this testimony with you. And some people may not like, you know, just me even bringing up this topic. But I had two young ladies who were in a relationship at our church. You know, they were in a homosexual relationship. And, you know, the church really sometimes, and this is what really irritates a lot of people who are not in church. Sometimes we act like that's the only sin.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We act like homosexuality, fornication, adultery, gambling, getting drunk. We act like those are the only sins that God frown upon. But we never address, I'm talking about church people a lot of times. We never address our gluttony. We never address our gossip. You know what I'm saying? We never address our unforgiveness. You supposed to be all super safe, saying you walking around here and you ain't forgave your brother who even asked for forgiveness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can watch this. You can speak in tongues, but you can't speak to me.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? That's where a lot of people have issue with, you know. But I had this couple, and they had a desire to want to know, you know, if they were doing something that was not pleasing to God. And they set up that, you know, they scheduled a little counseling session with us and to talk to us. And I told them, I said, hey, look, I said, I do have my beliefs about homosexuality. I know because of what the Bible says. I said, but look, I'm going to love y'all. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to cover you. Nobody's going to hurt you. I said, I want y'all to keep coming to church. I said, y'all going to be my daughters. I said, and we'll just take this, you know. And they said, well, Pastor E, man, he said, I just want to know, show me in the Bible where homosexuality is wrong. And I said, I'm going to do you one better. I said, I want you to show me where it's right and come back and sit down and we'll talk about it. I said, you show me where it's right. And then I can open my eyes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I can open my eyes from what I've learned. If that's what you show me, if you can present that. Our next conversation. Now, watch this. I never said anything else to them. I love them. And to this day, they still love them. Now, ironically, what happened, they came to me and said, hey, you know, we've been studying and researching on our own, and we decided we don't want this life anymore because we want to please God more than ourselves. Now, that's what they came back to me with, said, hey, we just don't want this lifestyle anymore. And both of them now, they're with men, but I never condemn them for what choice they make. You know, it's my job is just to show you in the Word of God and to teach you what, and it's your job to live it. It's not my job to punch you or beat you up or pound you down because of the choice that you made. Maybe this person haven't caught the revelation yet concerning the Word of God. So I got to be patient with them as well. Because watch this, God was patient with all of us in our junk.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? But to this day, I love that. And I, you know, it's funny. I don't turn away people who have that lifestyle. Matter of fact, I pulled them closer. Got another couple just came out. Say, hey, listen, don't y'all stop coming to church. I told them the same thing. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna protect you. Y'all gonna be my daughters. You don't have to worry about just continue to come. And we just have to allow Holy Spirit to do the work. So many times we try to do the work. We try to make people. I'm gonna make you be saved. I'm gonna make you, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna make you quit doing what you're doing. You can't. I can't make you. I can deliver. I'm the mailman. I can deliver you the message.
What I like though is that you didn't turn them away. Like, people would quickly and easily say, not in my church, not in my church. And what it's saying is to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is even if you still continue to, you know, be gay and love the opposite sex, it's fine with me, but I love you.
I love you.
And I want you to still keep coming to church.
That's right. That's right. Listen, watch this. Now, if I told them that they couldn't come to church no more, I'd probably have to tell 500 other people they can't come to church anymore either. You know what I'm saying? If we really gonna go, the difference is, watch this. People think because their sin is covered up and not exposed, then it's okay. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the biggest, you know, watch this. In the Bible, see, I wasn't supposed to be preaching, but in the
Bible. Don't keep it to yourself. That's the name of the podcast. Bible,
they were ready. Watch this. They were ready. They were ready to stone that woman who was caught in adultery. They were getting ready to stone her. And Jesus kneeled down and he wrote something in the mud. And Jesus was so cool. People don't understand. He was so smooth. He was gangster. And he kneeled down and he wrote something in the ground. And he didn't even look up at him. And he said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. You throw your stone first if you without sin. Them jokers start dropping the rocks and start taking off. They start disappearing. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. So I would have to, if I were to do them like that, to turn them away, I got to turn a whole lot of people away if they were going to be honest.
Yeah.
What if I said, okay, if I told them they had to leave and then I stood up in front of the church and said, everybody who was without sin, everybody who was out without sin can stay, but everybody else had to leave. This is the other thing. Now, see, watch this. Church, clear out, right? Anyway, the other thing is, watch this. People don't understand that the church isn't geared for the saved person. The church is for those who don't know Christ, who are not saved. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They got mad at Jesus in the Bible. Watch this. They got mad at him because he was hanging out with the worst of the worst. He was sitting up having lunch with him. You know, eating with them. He was eating with all the bad people, the lowlifes, the thugs, the gangsters, the pimps. He was sitting, and you know, those Pharisees got mad at him. And they start talking about him like, oh, how dare you? You're supposed to be the Son of God. You down here, sitting up here having lunch with them and eating with them. That don't look good. I told you Jesus is smooth. Watch this. He said, those who are sick are in need of a physician. In other words, baby, I'm sitting here because I'm the doctor. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the doctor. He said, they need me. Y'all supposed to know me. Y'all don't need me as much as they need me.
So why are you on sabbatical?
Because, okay, well, since we go in there, I needed a break from ministry. All my life, I can't say all my life, the majority of my life has been geared toward serving in some capacity in ministry. Next year, watch this. Next year, it will be like 40 years that I have served in some capacity of ministry. I'm gonna tell you how I got to that point. I started off playing for the church at 12 years old. I ain't talking about ding, 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 ding. I'm talking about playing, carrying the church service. I was one of the main musicians ever since I was 12 years old. So much so to the point, my dad was a pastor. I had another brother who was a musician, choir director, and everything. He got called into the ministry even as I was a teenager. Watch this. The demand on me in ministry was so heavy, especially when my dad was alive, that there were, I played football in high school, okay? I played football and I was a starter. Offense and defense, I played both. So I was bad man. No, but I was a starter. And I recall one Friday where we had a game scheduled, and my brother, who was a musician as well, he had to go preach that same night. But our church had a service. They were having a service that they were a part of. That left me. I was, you know, and so my dad wasn't going to tell my brother he couldn't go preach on his preaching assignment. So he told me, hey, you're going to be at church. Dad, I play football. I'm a starter, man. I don't care. You're going to be, you know, and so that's, I missed out on a whole lot because my whole life has been dedicated to church and serving others and pleasing others. You know what I'm saying? Even now it's, and don't get me wrong. I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all, but for such a long time, so many years, I haven't had an opportunity to step back and just focus on me and refill and refuel and re-energize. And, you know, and it's good. And I was told, you know, I should have done it a long time ago, but I wouldn't do it. I can't.
Why wouldn't you?
I can't be gone from church that long. Oh, no. You know, people might not understand and yada, yada, yada. And I need to be there and blah, blah, blah. You know, just I had every excuse not to. And actually, part of me was I was afraid. I was afraid to be gone that long. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what the people, how they would respond. I didn't know if for some reason I would make the decision and not come back. You know, I just didn't know. I'm going back, but you know, just in case if somebody from my church sees this, I'm coming back. But I was afraid that, hey, I might get out here and say, you know what? I'm done. 40 years is a long time. You know, I neglected a lot, you know, my family, you know, from being, and when, especially back in the day when my dad was alive, I'm talking about, we went to church almost every day. We had something going on. If I wasn't at a rehearsal, I was at a church service or Bible study, prayer service, you know, just, and then Sunday, the whole day, literally. Sunday school, 9 a.m., 10:45 morning worship, 3 o'clock afternoon service, 7 o'clock night service. For real, that's how my Sundays went, every Sunday.
So what if, so I know you said you're going back. What if you did your sabbatical, whether it's 3 months, 6 months to a year, and you said, I'm done? I'm trying to, like, now, like before when I was growing up, I've never heard of like pastors
taking retiring, retiring.
Right? Oh. Or taking a sabbatical.
Watch this. It's so important. This is how important I believe it is. And I'm gonna get to your your let me ask you a question first.
Okay.
I believe that in order for me to do that, God would have to give me a strong peace about it. Whereas there's nothing that would bother me that would be said because I did it. You follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
It would just have to be that, you know, well, he did. Yeah, I know. Huh? He would just have to give me that kind of peace. You know what I'm saying? But I believe had more pastors taking this time for themselves, watch this, to address, I mean, things that go on, because we're human too. Do you not know a lot of times, man, pastors negate their health, their marriages, their houses, their children? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. This is why, because I know you heard before, you know, them pastor kids, them preacher kids are bad. You know why they bad? Because we spend so much time pouring in. You know what I'm saying? We're not giving, a lot of times you find that from families or pastors who are not giving their children the time that they need. We're nurturing the church family and everything, more so than we are our family. And according to the word of God, our family is our first ministry, not the church. And we've had it wrong for so long. You know, I'm talking about pastors, especially old school pastors, you know. And I really believe, to what I was getting ready to say, I believe that there are some pastors that would still be alive today had they taken a sabbatical, had they looked after themselves, taken care of themselves, should I say, a little bit more. You know, I almost felt like it's selfish of me if I were to do that, if I were to be going out. Well, it's okay. God did give me a peace. Hey, it's okay to look after yourself. You're not doing it in a matter of fact, my selfishness, really, they're beneficiaries of my selfishness, because by me being selfish and making sure that I'm good, now I can be what I need to be to them.
Self-care.
And that basically, that's what I've been calling this, self-care, more so than a sabbatical. But you're right. But there are pastors who committed suicide a lot.
I was just about to ask you that, like mental health, right? Especially in Black communities, is taboo. Luckily, it's starting to be, you know, discussed and cared for. And yep. So, like back in the day, you would hear people say, well, I don't need to go see a therapist because I got God. And I'm like, I understand you got God, but God put people on this planet.
Boom. Exactly. So just like he put specialists here for your heart. Like if you have cardiac problems, you go to see a heart doctor, right? Mm-hmm. If you have feet problems or foot problems, you go see a podiatrist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something wrong with your teeth, you go see an orthodontist or a dentist or whatnot.
Got diabetes?
You know, so you go see the doctor. You go see mm-hmm. the person who is a specialist. What's that? Endocrinologist?
Endocrinologist. Look at you.
Yeah. You go see an endocrinologist.
If your insurance pays for it, but that's another topic.
My wife has diabetes as well. So, but anyway. And so when you have issues here, then He gives us doctors for that. This is what I tell people all the time. You know, because some people come to me, and when they get to telling me what they're dealing with, I tell them, I say, hey, listen, with all due respect, you need to go talk to somebody. That's not my field. I said, but I tell you what, this is how we're going to approach your situation. You go see a therapist, a psychologist, or whatnot about what you're dealing with, and I'm going to pray over here. On the spirit, you handle that in the natural. I'm gonna handle this in the spirit, and we're gonna join it together, and we're gonna see what results we can get. Watch this. It's no different. And the reason why I start doing that is no different than if a person would come to me and say, I've been having, you know, heart palpitations or heart problems or whatnot, you know, real pains, and sometimes I think I have a heart. Hey, I can't. You go see a doctor and tell you what. You handle that in the natural, and I'm going to handle that in spirit. We're going to pray. We're going to merge the two together. We're gonna combine the super and the natural. And when you do that, what do you get? The supernatural, baby.
You should put that on a t-shirt.
and so it's the same thing with mental health. I've been looking for somebody that I can talk to, that's a therapist. And I have been getting counsel from like some other pastors, who might have, some knowledge of handling, actually that can speak to my issue or issues, but I want to speak to, a doctor who is a professional in that area. Because I want to stay grounded. And I want to have good sense.
So when you hear this, I want you to tell me, what do you think? Because this is going to bring me to my next question after you answer this. Is the Arsenio? Oh, what do you think when you hear that?
It takes me back to the 90s. It takes me back to that era. And I know what you're referring to. I did have the opportunity to be on that show, but I was a musician at that time. I was in that capacity. This was all before my pastoring days. I went on with a group called Low Key, who had a hit.
I got a thing
for you, baby. And that's the song that we performed, man. And it was a very, very... Now watch this. I'm going to tell you something that was very crazy about that night. I went to do that. Now, you got to understand that I come from old school church. I come from old school pastor. My dad, old school. Everything was a sin. Okay? When I grew up, there was no secular music in our house.
No Luther?
There was no secular music. The only secular music that I ever came in contact with growing up was when I went to school. And I heard people playing their radios and stuff. Other than that, if it was some music that be played, it was God. Let me tell you, hold on. Before I even go that far. I'm going to tell you something that's even funnier than that. Let me tell you something that's funnier than that. We could not play, watch this, Monopoly.
What?
To this day, still don't know how to play. I still don't know how to play cards. I'm going to tell you, because they had dice in it. Now watch this. Hold on. I'm going to tell you something funny. My dad said, no, it ain't going to be none of that in this house. He said, that's how I start. And we was like, that's how I would start. He was talking about gambling. He said, before you know it, y'all be at the juke house. The juke house. So you know how old my dad was, right? So it was like, y'all be down at them bars in the saloon, shooting that dice and gambling. There ain't going to be none of that in this house. So you know what we did?
Be down there at 18th and Vine.
Listen, this is what we did. Listen, instead of using dice, this is how we were able to play. We would take numbers, write them on a piece of paper, put them in a bag, shake them up. Reach in the bag, pull a number, and whatever number you pull, that's how many times you move. That was my, yes. Ain't that crazy? For real, that is no lie. No lie. That's no lie.
Really? But
yes, so anyway, back to the Arsenio Hall show. I just said all that to show you how strict my house was. So now, mind you, when I went and did that show, I was a grown man. I was about 21, maybe 22, about 22 years old. Now, mind you, I got married when I was 18. That's a whole nother story. Yes. Yeah, I've been married for 33 years. Yeah. Anyway, so, and I'm 51, by the way.
I was about to ask because you don't look 51.
Yeah. Glory to God. Good genes. And so I told, when we were doing pre prep for the show, we went out and took our places and they showed us where we're going to be. And we were doing like a run through. And I told the cameraman that was close to me, I said, "You don't have to put the camera on me. Please." I said, "Because watch this. Now, although I wasn't living in my dad's house, I still didn't want him to know that I was doing the Arsenio Hall. I'm the church musician.
He didn't know?
No. Now, watch this. Now, I didn't lie. But when I told him I wasn't going to, when I told them that I wasn't going to be at church that Sunday, it was a business trip. That's what I was telling them. It was a business trip. I got paid and it was business. So, but yeah, I was incognito on the Arsenio Hall show. Now they did about one or two passes of the camera and they fanned it real fast. Even after I told them not to, but even after I told them not to put the camera on me at all, because I want to just go do that, have that experience and come on back. Yeah, that was great, just to see how the show is done and, you know, get to meet Arsenio and everything. He wasn't as tall as he looks on TV, but his fingers are very long. Like, you know, he has long fingers. Crazy.
So, when you were playing secular music, your father had no clue.
Had no idea. Now, watch this.
The church folk didn't see you out there?
Well, some claimed that they did, and I think it was only because they heard in the wind that I was going to be on the show. Now, my secular stem was very sharp. I did not, you know, my main thing was gospel music, and okay. And that was where my heart was anyway, because after I did the Arsenio Hall show, I mean, that night, literally, the lead of that of the group and the manager got me in the back of a limo and said, "Hey, we're about to go overseas. We're about to do a tour in London, and we want you to go with us. We want you to be a part of the group, and we want you to travel with us and do this tour with us." And I thanked them for the opportunity, but I respectfully declined. I had a great job. I worked at AT&T. I was, I worked in IT, and I was content with playing at the church. Although sometimes I look back and I wonder what it would have been like had I done it, you know, just the experience. It probably wouldn't have been good, but I respectfully declined. One of the other things that I did, and I just got the courage to tell our church a couple years ago. I don't know how I got on that subject. I was up speaking or whatnot, and I told them that I played on this project that wasn't very spiritual at all. I played on this CD. And I'll tell you who it was in a minute. I don't know if you know. Okay, so one of the guys in the group, one of the musicians in the group, Low Key, he was a guitar player. He wrote songs for other artists as well. And at the time, he was like, "Hey, man, I'm writing a song for this new artist that's coming out. And I want you to come and drop some keys on it." And so I said, "Okay, you know, cool." Because he had done other favors for me. I was like, "Okay, sure. I'll come and do that." He had a studio, which he let me record on. That's another thing. I have a CD as well. I did a recording. Yeah, it's on iTunes. You go on iTunes, and that CD, it's 20 years old, but it's still blessing people today. I still have people reach out to me and say, "Man, your CD, you need to do it again, man." It's just, yeah.
You sing too?
Just about this much. I'm more of the Kirk Franklin narrate, you know, "Come on, everybody, yeah.
You the hype man."
Yeah, I sing a little bit. I do sing a little bit. So I did I went and did the laid the track for this guy. Mm-hmm. I said, "Man, who is this song for?" And I hadn't heard any lyrics or anything of the song. When he's like, "Oh, it's this new chick called, her name is Adina Howard." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so I did the pre-production at his studio at his house. And then we went to a major studio here in town to lay and do the final production of that track. When Adina came in town to lay her tracks. to lay her vocals on the song. And the producer was there that night. And he was like, man, and he introduced me to her. This is Eric, Cobbins. He's going to be playing keys on the song that you're doing, My Up and Down, tonight. So I was on a song called My Up and Down on a Dina Howard CD. And so he was like, man, this CD is going to be something else. He said, we're doing something new, man. It's going to be off the chain, blah, blah, blah. Yada. I said, okay, well, let me hear something. And he started playing some of the, I need a freaking morning, freaking, I need a rough neck, I need to do, and then she was talking about my t-shirt and my panties and all that. And I was like, oh my God. So I never, for years, I promise, nobody knew that I played a song on that CD.
Yeah, because she was like the little Kim of R&B back in
yes.
the 90s.
Yes. And so the Reverend son ain't supposed to be playing on no CD like that. You know what I'm saying? And so, man, I kept that for a long time. And then I don't know how I used it, though. I used it to be a blessing to the church in something that I was speaking on. I don't remember how I got to it, but I told them. And it's funny, man, that some people came to me afterward. They said, I always wondered if that was you, because I was Googling your name one time and your name came up under Adina Howard's CD. And for additional piano and blah, blah. And I wondered if that was you. And I was like, yeah, it was me. So, but my stint with that was very short-lived. Now, I will tell you, I did the most R&B music at weddings. I used to play for weddings, galore. I was the wedding guy. And so a lot of the songs that I learned R&B, I learned from playing for weddings. Luther and, Tony Terry.
When I'm with you.
You know, all those old songs. We did all Stevie Wonder. Riven in the sky for our love, oh so long for this night I pray. So all those songs and whatnot, I learned from that. But my main music that I played has been gospel.
So who's your favorite gospel singer?
There are too many. I'm not gonna.
I'll give you two.
I'm not gonna do that. Because I'm friends with some of those people, and I don't want them to hear me.
Are you a Chiefs fan?
You doggone Skippy. Hey. No. That's where. Okay. Now this is where the conversation has to end.
I am a Raiders fan.
Oh, you got to be kidding!
No.
I used to like you know y'all getting the beat down Sunday, right?
I don't care. See, that's the thing, right? Chiefs fans get upset when the Chiefs lose. I don't care. No, I just like the Raiders.
We've always rocked with them, during all those bad years, the years we were terrible. We rocked with our Chiefs. But now it's like people can't handle the fact that we have a great team. It really irritates a lot of people now that we're an elite group. We are.
See, here's the deal though. Like, it doesn't bother me that the Chiefs are good. I just like the Raiders. And okay. I like the Raiders because I like to be different. When I lived in Kansas City, everybody was a Kansas City fan. I'm like, okay, I can't be like everybody else. Look, I have this quote right here. Avoid the crowd, do your own thinking independently, be the chess player, not the chess piece.
The Raiders are the devil's team.
Hey, you remember, but you're not judging me and you're not condemning me.
I ain't judging you. Hey, you rock on with the devil. You go ahead. Do your
thing. Yep. But yeah, that's my team. So I have seen you on social media. Facebook is your jam. I see you often because of my brother. How is it being a pastor of a church using social media?
Social media actually is a great tool. for pastors and church. You know, it's for, it gives us opportunity to reach people we will never reach, never would have had the opportunity to reach prior to Facebook. It gives us an opportunity to stay connected with a lot of people. And so it's a great tool if you use it right. And then watch this. And then on the flip side, it gives people the opportunity to see that, hey, I am a person too. You know, church is not my entire life. I like to have fun. I like to do things. And so I put just as much funny stuff or fun stuff as I do spiritual stuff.
So you know, you're Eric on Facebook.
I'm both. I'm Eric and Pastor Eric. I'm both. And a lot of people really respect that. Now, I don't get too crazy. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
None of the super, super, super religious people might, you know, have issue with some things I do, but I don't care. You know, I talk to God about it and he's okay. So as long as he's okay, you don't matter. But it's good that they see that you have balance. And some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about people. You say, hey, what's up? How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed of the Lord. Blessed, highly favored. Oh, shout, da, 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 da. Dude, for real? Come on, man. You can't just say, hey. It just, I mean, come on. You up here in the clouds and everything. Come on. Just say, hey, how you know, if I say, hey, what's up? How you doing? Hey, man, I'm doing good. Good to see you. That's all I need. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times you'll find out, watch this. I always raise my eyebrow to people like that. What are you hiding? Because why
are you trying? Pastor, don't keep it to yourself.
Huh? You know what? What are you hiding? When you try to be so super, you know, when you can't even be regular. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a regular, oh, I'm blessed of the Lord, highly favored, been baptized in the blood of the Lamb. And yes. What you hide? You got some blunts in your purse or something. You know what I'm saying? You've been hitting that at home. You know, you doing something you ain't got no business. Why? You know, because you're trying to, it seems, because it's like you're trying to prove to me that you know God and y'all have this great connection. And it goes back to let your light shine. Just let it shine. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to be all like that.
So what would you say to somebody who's like kind of stuck in this place where they're not me? Cause I already had my talk with God. It's at the altar. It's still there. But these are people out here that, I mean, you seem like to me, like I've never heard you preach because when I came to Kansas City to visit the church, Talis was preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like to me that you could actually be a phenomenal, phenomenal motivational speaker. Phenomenal. Like, so what would you say to someone out there who's tuning in and who their light is dim because of the naysayers and then the thoughts that's floating around in their head telling them you ain't good enough or nobody's going to do this or, you know, all those negative thoughts festering? What would you say to someone?
You know, Do you want the spiritual answer? Because I always try to point people to God.
Give me both.
To try to get into a place where they can hear him. And which a lot of times what that takes is for them to shut the rest of the world down. And what I mean, you know, a lot of times, I don't always tell people to pray about certain things. Mm-hmm. You know, people always, you know, say, well, you need to pray about it. Sometimes I tell them, no, you need to go and get in place. You need to listen. You need to hear God. Watch this. Why do I tell them that? Because so often we get so spiritual where we come and we talk to God. Watch this. And we prayed about it before, but he already knows. You follow what I'm saying? He already knows. And so, but we never quiet ourselves enough to hear and to get direction from him for our lives. And it does work. It does work. When you will spend time, you know, when I would have these elaborate prayer times, I would spend just as much time sitting, just being quiet, than I would talk. People don't understand that. Watch this. Prayer is a conversation with God. Now, how would it be if I on this thing, I just did all the talking? And watch this. Watch this. People want God. They always pray, God, give me direction for my life. Give me direction for my life concerning this thing that I'm dealing with, concerning my low self-esteem, concerning whatever it is that they're dealing with. And then they get up and they say, this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. They go on about their day. They get on social media and blah, blah, blah. You didn't even wait for an answer. You didn't even try to hear one. I tell people all the time, it's no different than you saying, hey, Pastor D, how do you get to your church? You call me, say, Pastor D, how do you get to your church? And then click, hang up. You'll never know. Why? Because you never stopped to get direct. You see what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, Eric, I totally understand.
So you don't stop to get the directions, and we do God the same way. We'll ask him, God, what I need direction for my life in this area. And we hang up. We're done. And then they be like, God don't speak to me. No, you don't quiet yourself to listen. And then watch this. You know, and then in the natural, watch this. You need to surround yourselves with people that have lives and lifestyles that you would like to see as well. You need to hang around some good people to emulate. You know what I'm saying? I told our church this before. I said, it's okay to be a copycat as long as you're copying the right cat.
Yeah, or one of my good friends from Australia, she said, because between her and my husband and probably a few more of my friends, she was like, it's good to have bossy friends that push you in the right direction. I was like, yes, it is very good to have bossy friends that push you in the right and push me in the right direction. Because even though I would have done the podcast anyway, uh-huh, just that extra push,
uh-huh,
it feels good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying all that to say, yes, I truly understand. We could talk and not listen. The listening part is key. I mean, that's key in any relationship. In any,
that's right.
You have to listen. It's a two-way street. Even though I do like the talk, still got to listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we monopolize the conversation. God's trying to speak to us because people always say to God, he never speaks to you. No, it's not that he doesn't speak. You don't listen. And then watch this. And this is why it's so wise that in those times when you go into those prayer times and you're talking to God and you set that time aside to listen to him, take something to write or to make note, because God will speak, but he's not obligated to repeat himself. He's not obligated. To repeat himself, just like I just did for you. God is not obligated to repeat himself. And so when he speaks, we need to pay attention.
Yeah, listen to those signs. They're right there sometimes.
Yeah. And he right will there. Speak. Yeah, so.
So before we go, I do have one question for you.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I really shouldn't have to ask this because you shared so much information that it was good. Like, you really don't get to, I know, like I said, I haven't been to church since my daughter, like physically. Okay, your church last year, but before that, it was 12 years. And to hear, I can see why my brother goes to your church. I can see why my brother respects you, not just as his pastor, but as a friend. I can see why he adores your family. I see it. I get it.
That's my guy. That's my guy. We had brunch Sunday. Oh, I'm not supposed to. Oh, people going to see this. You know, I edit that part out because my phone is going to be ringing off the hook. Well, Pastor, you didn't have brunch with me.
Jeez. Okay. So is there anything that I feel like you kind of shared a lot that you want to get off your chest that you just can't or don't want to keep to yourself?
I can't say that it really is. I will say this. This is I'm going to ask the people to do me a favor, and I'm speaking on behalf of pastors, and this may not be what you were looking for as far as an answer, what not, as far as getting this off, getting something off my chest or whatnot, or letting some out. Don't indict all pastors as being a certain way just because a few, you know, there are a few bad apples or whatnot, you know, and people do to us what they swear that we do to them. They judge us. They give us a bad rap. And they indict all of us as being, you know, the same. I'm sorry, but not all pastors are taking money from the church. Not all pastors are sleeping with the women at the church. Not all pastors are doing this or doing that. And it just, it's not fair that all pastors get a bad rap just because of what a few have done. And it makes me think about African Americans and how we, you know, we hate being prejudged by other races, because other races indict all of us. Mm-hmm. For, you know, they say we're lazy, we're not smart, you know, we steal, you know, we do this and
gang
we do
bangers,
that.
Drug dealers.
Exactly, we're thugs, yada yada yada. And it doesn't feel good. Even though we know that, you know, those aren't truths about us. But we fight and we rally against all of that. But yet and still we'll do it. We'll do it to the preacher, man. We'll talk about them. We'll prejudge them. And what they don't know, man, there's a lot of pastors out there that really have a pastor's heart and a care for people and who's trying to do things the right way. And, you know, and it seems like, you know, we're the ones who get the most criticism and condemnation. You know what I'm saying? I've gone through that. You know, can I just share something else? You know, I know we're trying to wrap up, but man, you know, I've always done well for myself. I've always had a great job. I've always, you know, had things. Now I have things, but things don't have me. You follow what I'm saying?
I'm following.
I can be just as content driving, and this is no slight on anybody's car. I'm just saying, driving on a Chevy Chevette. You probably don't even know what that is. You know,
I do. My husband's a car person, so I do know what that is.
But they don't even make those anymore. I'm just saying, I could be just as content driving one of those that run as I would a Mercedes. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always dressed well. You know, I'm not right now. You know, I just want to be chill. You know, I don't want to get on here as Pastor Eric with a tie and useless. I look like a bum. But anyway, but I've always done that. And man, I've been accused of, you know, misappropriating money. I don't even handle money at church. You know, I don't even fool. I don't fool with the money. I don't touch it. You know, we have people for that. I spend my salary, you know, and I always try to do other things that enhance my finances. You know, I've done a lot in my life, and, you know, people, you know, I've had people go attack me on social media. You know, yeah. I mean, I could have easily sued them for libel and slander and all that because of the things that they put on there. And it's been bad, man. And it's like, I always say this, though, you know, if I'm going to hell, I'm going for something more than just taking a couple dollars. And that's another thing. I don't know why people think the church has so much money. I'm like, okay, you know how much you give. Just think if everybody gave that. Now, where's all these millions of dollars you think the church has? You know, not all churches have that, you know, but we try to be as wise as we can with what we do have. And but most churches do, you know, there are a lot of pastors. People don't want pastors to live well. Why not? Why can't pastors live well? The Bible even says, you know, Jesus was poor. No, the Bible says that Jesus became poor so that we could be rich. And rich doesn't necessarily mean just in money. It just means so that we can be abundantly supplied. Why did Jesus become poor? Because Jesus wanted to just about experience everything that we would experience in life so that he could speak to it. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. He wanted street cred.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, I've been broke. Don't tell me you can't make it. You know what I'm saying? He left a throne in heaven. A throne. Most poor people don't sit on thrones, do they? Okay, so he became poor so that we might be rich. And so there's nothing wrong with, you know, Christians having things, or pastors having things, and people don't know. The majority of pastors, they help so many people. We don't go about bragging about it. We don't talk about it. Do you know not know how many people I help and I give to? I wouldn't be able to do that if I was broke. So why do everybody think that the pastor should be some poor wretched soul? And then why can't he spend what he earns how he wants to, like everybody else? You know what I'm saying? I buy what I like. I don't have a drinking problem. I don't have a gambling problem. So you spend your money like that, I might go and buy me an expensive belt or a pair of shoes. That's my advice. Why can't I have that? You know what I'm saying? But on top of that, I'm giving to the church, and I'm being a blessing to those who are in need.
I think it goes back to what you said earlier, though, is that people see you as pastor. They don't see you as normal. Like, being a pastor and being normal shouldn't, in their eyes, shouldn't go in the same sentence. So.
But you know what? This is what I learned, too, that even my life being blessed and people being able to see some of the fruit of my life, that has been a drawing tool as well. Man, because, again, I've always driven nice cars, even before a pastor. I've always had a nice job. I've always done well, okay, financially. I've always. And I pull up at a car wash, be washing my car, and it's opportunity. One of them young bucks come over there, man, that's nice, man, that's a nice car. And they get to talking to me, and, you know, and everybody be like, man, well, what you do, you know? man, how do you get that? And, you know, how did you get that? You know, and it gives me opportunities, you know, to open. I said, do you really want to know? I said, okay, I'm going to tell you. You know, I believe, and I tell them, I believe that I've been blessed like this because of the life I live. Mm-hmm. Well, what you mean by that, man? Well, I live my life to try to please God. Man, for real, man, come on, I said, no, I'm not saying because I do, this is what, you know, because you do, this is what you will get. But I'm just saying, I believe that the more that I try to please God, the more, you know, that God will bless me. Now, you can't be saved by works. You can't. But God will bless you when, you know, just like any other good parent, you know, when we do well, the Bible says he's a rewarder to them who diligently seek him. Isn't that what the Bible says? That's what the Bible says. You know, and I believe he blesses us, you know, when we're doing that. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but, you know, but anyway, I don't mean to get off into that. What I'm trying to say is that it's an opportunity when they see, you know, especially when I was younger, a young man, blessed, you know, it's always an open door, you know. And just think if I was trying to witness to some of these people who on the street who don't know God, and I try to go to them and say, man, God will bless you. I got holes in my shoes, and I'm, you know, I'm riding on a moped and asking him for a couple of dollars so I give me.
They look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
Just like they do with the people that stand on the street with the big sign that says love Jesus.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They don't understand it. A lot of people in the world equate to being blessed to things.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. and that's not the only way that God blesses you, not just through things. I'm going to be speaking to the police chief of Lenexa called me. And I'll be speaking to the entire Lenexa police force in two different sessions. As a matter of fact, I'm pulling your brother in. Your brother is coming to give, because I'm having them share some experiences that they've had with racial injustice or, you know, bad encounters with police officers. So I'm bringing a couple of people to give their testimonies and whatnot. But I will be heading up that training on racial equality, you know, and diversity training that they're going to have coming up in a couple of weeks. Yes.
As in Lenexa, Kansas?
Yes. Me. Lenexa, Kansas. Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Times have changed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it came about because I did a rally. I did a unity rally.
Yes.
I did. And it actually, the chief of police came, a few other officers, the city council, women, a couple of the people from city council came, and I connected with some of my white pastor friends. Well, they became friends because I connected with them at the last minute, and they came and they were a part. It was great. The news came out and they televised part of it. And it was a great event. And that's what I'm about, trying to bring together races and cultures. And matter of fact, I had a prayer luncheon today with some pastors of, you know, different races and backgrounds or whatnot. And man, but it's going to have to start with the church. The church is going to have to set the template on how blacks and whites should interact and how we should get along or whatnot. You know, we should be that light in the earth. Right. We should be the Bible says we are the salt of the earth. And so everybody needs to get our flavor, and we need to show the world what it means to really love each other and honor and respect each other.
Need to change the narrative.
Yes. But you know, the church is even bad.
Mm-hmm.
The church is not exempt. And that's why I say it needs to start in the church. You know, how are we going to fix the world when the church got its issues? I'm talking about as far as race and racism. And people don't understand. People think they just, you know, it goes back to that thing where they just think homosexuality and adultery and those are the only sins. But your racism is a sin too. See, racism is not a skin issue. It's a sin issue. You follow what I'm saying? Racism is a sin. And there are a lot of people who are in church that don't believe that they are racist and don't believe that they are sinning with that mindset that they have.
We're going to wrap things up. Thank you so much for being my conversation partner.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And if anybody wants to find you, Facebook, Instagram. We're not going to even mention Twitter. So Facebook, Instagram. I'll put all your information in the show notes so they can reach out to you if they want to do that.
All right. Sounds good.